you're all doing well and were able to get yourself shoveled out or snow blowed out. And I remember the days when 3 or 4, half a foot of snow, we didn't even talk about it. Now, you want, listen, is it my imagination or you watch the local news, right? 6 o'clock news. They start with weather. They give a, before they actually get to the weather forecast, they give a weather update. And then they talk about the weather. Before they sign off to the national news, they give us the weather report again. It's craziness. Oh, well. Weather. Okay, here we are. And we're grateful. I'm really trying. One of my New Year's resolutions is, Bob, change your attitude about the snow. I'm doing the work, but I'm just not getting there. But nonetheless, Philippians chapter 3. Here we are at verse 12. Let me read the scriptures. They're also in your bulletin. Philippians 3, 12. We read 12 through 14. And I know that I am going to be followed very closely this morning, because I was reminded last week that I failed miserably. I'm not going to get into it. What's in the past, as the scripture says here, forgetting what's behind. I'm going to forget about it. Yes, thank you. Verse 12 says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have been made perfect, been made mature, but I press on. And so, once again, here we have Paul, who is a standard bearer for us, is he not? Teaching us and shows us how it is that we are to be followers of Jesus. And if anyone was a follower of Jesus, it's this man right here. And he's saying to us, listen, he said, I haven't made it yet. I haven't made it yet. I'm well on my way. And so he says, I haven't made it, but I'm pressing on. That says something to us. What's he pressing on for? What's his aim? To take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That. Christ came into my life. I'm a Christian. Okay, God, what are you doing with my life? What do you want to do with my life? What do you have for me? That's that. And he says, I'm going after that. That's what I'm pressing on for. He continues and he says, brothers and sisters, he says, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Again, he's making it clear. I'm pressing on. I'm in transit. I'm in process. I'm on this road. And this really speaks to me because, I've been walking with Jesus now over 40 years, 45 years. And you've heard me say, it's amazing how, different attitudes, different temptation that I fall prey to. And I say, what the heck? Been walking with Jesus for 45 years and I'm still, succumbing or still thinking that way. It's because we never become experts. Never do we arrive at that place where it's like, the halo's there. How's my halo this morning? And never do we arrive to the place where underneath the halo, there's still these coming up. You know what I'm saying? And we really got to get that. We really do. But nonetheless, he says, though I don't consider myself, he says, one thing I do. He says, I forget what's behind. And we spoke about this last week about it's impossible to live our lives looking in the rearview mirror. Right? Not that the past is unimportant. It's what made me who I am right now. But there are things that we have to forget and move on. We commented about that. And here's his point. He says, I'm straining forward. And this is sportsman language. This is from the language of competition sports. Straining forward. The runners who put their all into and strained across that finish line. And that's the language he's using here. He says, strain, he says, to what's ahead, not what's behind. There's something in front of me, something that I'm going for. And you remember something that I said last week, that our pasts have a way of creeping up on us and even confining us. And we feel at times as though, well, you know what? There goes plan A in my life. And now I got to settle for plan B. No. Never. It's with God, it's always plan A. Always. So I'm going forward. That's what I'm always going for. That's what he keeps me on track for, that plan A that he has for my life. That's what I'm aiming at. And he has a plan A for your life as well. And he says, I press on toward that goal. I press on towards it. To win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The prize in Christ, what God has for my life, that's what I'm aiming at. That's what I'm pressing on for. Would you pray with me? Father, in Jesus' name, as we huddle around your word this morning, look into this passage as we've been fiddling with it last week and now this morning, that your Holy Spirit would draw near, that we would hear you speaking to us in a very obvious way. I pray in Christ's name, and that it would be transformative today. Amen. Okay, so what goals have you set for yourself? You know, what goals have you set for yourself, let alone in 2017, but for your life? What life goals? Have you thought about it in those kinds of terms? Do you have? And as we are, remember that we're looking at how to make good on your New Year's resolutions. How to make good. And the statistics aren't very good. There's a 92% fail rate. Let's keep it positive. 8% make it. How positive is that? You know. And I'm sure you've been in one percentile or the other, right, when it comes to these kinds of things. And, you know, the apostle speaks about a goal here in this passage. And I think it's healthy for us, as we'll get into this morning, as we're talking about setting goals. And the point that we want to make is, how do I make good on the goals that I set for myself? I myself, years ago, have written out my life's goal. And I've tried to encapsulate it, you know, in a sentence or two, come up with a phrase of what it is that in my life in general that I'm aiming at, that come the end of my life that I'm able to look back and say, you know what, I've gotten closer to achieving what I aimed at. And that kind of thing is a very real thing. Our text shows us the way and reveals to us that it's good for us to aim at what God has for our lives. And that's known as the prize. So what prize are you going for? What prize do you feel like in your life that God has put before you? I want to talk about that some more. Now, here's the prayer. Here's the prayer that we mentioned last week, and our good friend Todd back there on the keyboard has putting this up as we promised. This is the prayer. And I remember reading this book by F.B. Meyer when I was just a kid, and coming across this prayer that he puts in this book, Paul, the Servant of God. And I want to recommend this prayer to you, as I did last week, that helps us to focus on and to get into coming to terms with what God has for my life. Going after that prize. You know, what did you mean for me? He says, what did you mean for me, O God, of my creation? Why was I created? Why did Jesus redeem me? You know, where my life is right now and all that has been involved in my life, good, bad, and the ugly. God, what do you mean for me in all of those things? God, what are you doing with me? And then he says, teach me to do your will. And again, this is the prize. Doing God's will. Lord, for your good. You know, and Jeremiah 29:13, right? I know the plans that I have for you. What? Not to do you what? Who knows? Melissa? Not to do you harm, but to do you what? Good. To give you a good hope and a future. This is what God is after. And the way that we get there, your spirit is good, oh Lord. Your spirit is at work in my life. Holy Spirit, lead me into that kind of living. And so, life goals. Life goals. Those goals that really make for living well. We can have all kinds of goals and motivations in life. You know, I'm living, you know, to make the next career boost. And wonderful, you know, to go after what we feel that we've set our hearts on in life as far as careers and go and whatnot. And we can go awry with those kinds of things to now thinking, well, it's all about the money. It's all about the position. And we're vulnerable to those kinds of things. That's not my aim in this message this morning, because the thing that really matters is what the apostle shows us here in this passage. Lord, what is your purpose for my life? What is your purpose for my life? What is your purpose for my life as a husband, you know, as a wife, as a teenager, as whatever it is, whatever that slot in life, season of life where you're at right now. For me, it's as a senior citizen, it just bugs me to no end when they give me the senior discount and they don't ask. It's like, excuse me? Craziness. And in all of these seasons of our lives, to come, you know, Lord, that purpose that you have for me, God, what is it? And I believe that as well, and we got to get this, whatever the season of life we're in, we never are shortchanged. Never. By any kind of limitations that season in our lives, we think, imposes on us from accomplishing the purpose, and there is a purpose for our lives in that season. You understand what I'm saying to you? So that the season of my life now is that, you know, I'm really getting older. Boy, oh boy, you know what I used to do without having to go to the gym to stay in fit for, I now have to go to the gym to stay in shape to accomplish. And then I still get whacked out. It's like I said to my wife, I said, boy, you know, we got probably about 150-foot driveway or more. And it's like, who can I call? You know, this snowblower stuff and shovel is getting nuts. And I was talking to her this morning, the little bit that I have to shovel, my steps and whatever, I think, you know, I'm going to buy one of those power shovels. You ever see those? They're pretty nifty. You know, it's like, oh, that's what I'm going to do my steps, because this is just nuts. And well, I guess it goes with the season of life, you know. But the point is this, that whatever the season of life we find ourselves in, and here's the deal. Life has a way of putting us in seasons we'd rather not be in, and certainly we wouldn't choose to be in. Whether it be a sickness, an ailment, an affliction, an adverse circumstance in our lives, a loss, a disappointment, let alone age, right? And that those things are never a hindrance to the purpose that God has for our lives. Never, no, never. Can never say I'm too young for the purpose that God has for my life. Can never say I'm too old, and everything in between all of that. Now that for me is exciting. That for me is a miracle that God gives to us and makes life worth living. That makes for the well-being, my well-being in life. And so last week, I violated one of my principles that I've been going for some time. And instead of having two or three principles, I had how many? Seven. I reverted back to my old ways, you know? And and as Brian pointed out yesterday at one of our conversations, our men's breakfast, he says it's really more than seven. It's more like, you know, 21 or more. Because under every point you have 3 points to talk about that one point. And this is incredible, you know. And last week was supposed to have been a 45-minute message. And my daughter-in-law, I won't mention which one, but my only one, mentioned, you know, Bob, she said, we're going to put you in the nursery with the kids. You know. Just so you know what we're going through when you go longer and whatever. But anyways, I do sincerely apologize. It was supposed to have been a short service last week. Everybody shaking it. We know. And so I'm not going to make up for it today. So But yes, I know. That has happened to me before. But anyways, they were the seven points, and I trust that you got them. If you haven't listened, if you weren't here for the message, you go online. Is it up online yet, Todd? Thank you, Todd. Todd takes care of our yeah. Why put myself through that misery all over again? Nice. You know, this is really something. When my kids were growing up, and still at home growing up, I don't know if they have grown up, but after service, we'd sit around the table, and invariably, the first thing, it'd be a roast. Me. No, I'm not kidding you. It was torturous. Now I just get it from my wife. Listen, this is no joke. This is no joke. Sandra last week was downstairs in children's church, right? She wasn't even in on the message. Do you know that she criticized me for one of the points that I made in my message and she wasn't even here to hear it? Incredible. Okay, so there were seven. All right, there were seven. And I'm not going to rehearse all seven of them, but I, you know, as your pastor, I am, as we say, heart attack serious about helping us together to make good on that purpose that God has for our lives. Do you hear me on that? If there's anything that my life is about, it's about that. Helping us, helping you to make good on that purpose that God has for your life. And you know, I've said this once, I said it a million times, I never look at you as a resource. Never. You know, what can you do for the church? What can you do for me? All this kinds of stuff. You know, what your gifting is, what your talent is. Are those things important? Yes. The main thing in my life is what is God doing in your life? And how I, as your pastor, can sidle up to you, can draw near, and relate to in your life to help you to find and walk in that purpose. Is that cool? And that's what I try to get at. So as long as it takes me, you got to know my heart's in the right place. And listen, you don't know how much I hold back. There could have been 14 points. Easily, hands down. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. And so to rehearse them, you know, what does it take? Well, it takes to be realistic about what we're going for, those goals that we set, you know, in our lives. And we talked about that. And even though we're realistic about it and say, well, you know, baby steps, I'm going to take the baby steps, right? But, boy, we got to be on the stretch, though. We got to stretch ourselves. To go for it in a sense of, man, and sometimes you just never know what you're capable of until you stretch yourself to go after something. And you say, boy, I could never do that. Well, you never know. And then we talked about being specific. Don't set goals that are vague. You know, I'm going to pray more this year. Well, that's just too vague. You know, no, I'm going to spend at least 10 minutes before I'm out the door after my coffee in the morning. I'm going to spend 10 minutes in prayer in the morning, not before I go to bed, because that usually ends up what? Yeah. And then, you know, allow for adjustments. Another one of the points, allow for adjustments in the goals that you set. Listen, stuff happens, you know. And the biggest thing with adjustments is this. If you fail, don't quit. Start again. Come on. Right or wrong, you know? And that's just, I mean, I'm telling you, the devil's a master at making us feel bad about the things that we go after, and we can't be perfect in those things. Listen, settle it right now. You know, you're not going to be perfect at it. Settle it right now as well. It's going to take effort. It's going to take discipline. Oh, man. As we said last week, is that a four-letter word or what? Discipline. You know, it takes discipline, and it takes willpower. It really does. I'm going to do this. And then one of the last ones we ended up with, the seven, right, Todd is so, I'm telling you, you know, is get help. Get help. Someone to prod you, not to coddle you. You know, oh, you know, that we, you know, you, yeah, okay. No, to push you. and of course to hold you accountable. And these things relate to so many things. I'm going to be looking at a couple of them this morning to become more specific. Now, Paul Tournier, a Swiss doctor, died in 86, but is renowned as being hailed as the greatest medical doctor of the 20th century. And he is a Christian, and he gave his life to helping people become healed, spirit, soul, and body. Spent a lot of time as helping people to come into the people that God wanted them to be and coming out of those things that inhibit that. And he said this. He said, all doctors agree that that one of the conditions of good health is to have an aim in life. What am I shooting for? What am I going for in my life? And this is why I bring up that prayer. Because the best thing, the most important thing, what really makes me tick, what brings well-being into my life, is finding out what God has for my life and setting my sights on that. And so, here's some healthy goals that I want to mention, okay? And no, there's not seven of them. No, there's not even three. There's just two. Come on, have I redeemed myself? There's just two. Now, each one has several points under it, but there's just two. but there's just two, all right? There's just two. And so some healthy goals. I want to talk about it together. And then after we get done talking about it, remember I gave you an assignment last week? I want to hear some things from you, okay, in just a moment. But some healthy goals. Now, I want to look at two this week and then two healthy goals next week. Okay, the two healthy goals that I want to look at this week are a healthy goal that pertains to our spiritual health. So that's goal number one, my spiritual health. Goal number two is going to be my physical health. Okay, my physical health. It's like, Pastor, you've been watching too much Dr. Oz. No. I haven't, but there's something here to be said about these two goals, and I want to look at it. Now, here's where it starts, okay, our spiritual health. And I think that a number of things can become unraveled in our lives, and if there's a spiritual health there in our lives, regardless of those things that are unraveling, our lives still stay centered. And what I mean in particular is about our spiritual health is simply this, spending time with the Lord. Spending time with the Lord. And that has to do with relationship. It's relational. It's not mechanical. It's relational in that, you know, I'm not doing things spiritually or that I might label as spiritual things in my relationship with God to do my duty, to do my Christian duty, to ease my conscience, you know, this is what I do, this is what I got to do, it's mechanical, and it becomes a part of a religious formula. Well, this is what we do as religious people. This is what we do as Christians. Man, I'll tell you, we got to keep it in the context, in the frame of where it really belongs. I'm about my spiritual health because I'm building a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's relational. And this is the context that I must keep it in. Now, like any relationship, you get to know the Lord Jesus. You can't get to know the Lord Jesus unless you spend time with him. And it's as simple as that. So when we talk about our spiritual health, you know that at the beginning of the year, as I said last week, that I harp on this at the beginning of the year. I bring it up in the middle of the year, and then I finish with it at the end of the year. A checkup. Remember when I put on my white coat and put on the stethoscope June or July, and said, this is time for a spiritual checkup. How you doing in your daily devotions? So we speak about spending time with the Lord. We're talking about what? 3 Ds. What's the 3 Ds? Do devotions daily, right? 3D, do devotions daily. It's a big part of our spiritual health. And once again, I'm doing it spending time with Jesus is how I look at it, to cultivate my relationship with Him. How big is God? How big is He? When we think about His personality, I think about His personality as undiscoverable. He's from everlasting to everlasting. In that He doles Himself out, as it were, in increments. You know? And so as I spend time with Him, His desire is that I would know Him. See? That I would know Him. And he gives Himself to be revealed to me. And He gives Himself to be revealed to me as I spend time with Him. This is what my daily devotions are all about. So when I open up the Word, you know, it's not that, what do you do in, studying all this stuff? So you go on Jeopardy and answer the Bible question? Well, I'm by Bible category. Well, it's a little bit more than that, that my heart's desire is, Lord, speak to my life. Speak to me. That this isn't just something on the printed page here that, good story stuff I become confused about. And remember what Mark Twain said about the things that you don't understand about the Bible and how that causes conflict. He says, I have enough trouble, with the things I do understand about the Bible, let alone go off into these things that I don't understand. And so there are a lot of things here that we do get in the Word. And I get into the Word and I say, Lord, what are you saying to me? God, how do I understand this? How does this apply to my life? How does this apply to situations that I'm dealing with? Jesus, reveal yourself to me in your word. Boy, that's relational, isn't it? And so this is what I look for in my devotions. And here's the thing about doing our devotions that becomes a part of the discipline of my devotions. And that is that I have developed a daily reading plan. I have a daily reading plan. So that I'm not just, saying, well, I'm going to read my Bible this year. Well, I'm going to show you how I'm going to read my Bible this year. So that for me personally, I just divide up the number of pages of my Bible by 365. I read that many pages every day. Guess what? At the end of the year, I've read my Bible. Now, for me personally, of course, it's more than what I read in the Word. Also another, so that's a great reading plan. And I would say it's a good goal to go after this year. Hey, I'm going to read the Bible through in 2017. From Genesis to what's the last book? Revelation. Another thing would be, so when we say, before Todd puts it up on the screen, we say, if you have your Bible, go to Hezekiah. You'd be able to find Hezekiah. Somebody find Hezekiah for me. There is no Hezekiah, right? You were looking. But that you know the books of the Bible. These are just disciplines that help us. And we made the point, how is it that... how is it that God can speak to me if I don't know His Word? Because when He speaks to me, He re-speaks His Word to me. But a daily reading plan, do you have one? And boy, you can Google it and find all kinds of reading plans. I mean, for me, the best is the Bible is a book, 66 books. And when I read this book, I start at the beginning and go all the way to the end like I usually do with any other kind of book. Because there's a story to be told from Genesis to Revelation. It's not the only way to do it, but it certainly is, I think, a good way, and I would recommend it to you, to read from start to finish. There was a time when, and it continues to be, where I'd read through the Bible, then I'd read at the same time I'd be reading some of the New Testament at the same time. Another thing is, if you read five Psalms and a proverb a day, you'll get through both books in a month. Great reading plan. Great reading plan. And good stuff there besides. And then when it comes to prayer, as goes into our spiritual health, how can we talk about spiritual health and not talk about prayer? Here's the thing that I would recommend. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Everything. There's nothing too small. Nothing too small to not submit to Him, because it shows our dependence upon Him. And God delights in directing our paths, and we pray about everything. And that becomes a challenge. So those are things about our spiritual health. Now, let's talk about the next one. You ready? And I'll finish my time talking about our physical health. Oh, boy, here we go. You're all going to leave me now, I know. Because I'm going to have Andre come up, and we're not going to talk about it, but we're about to do some Zumba. Okay, everybody ready? I'm just joking. Okay, so if spiritual health is spending time with the Lord, what do you think physical health is? Spending time at the gym. Spending time at the gym. It's as simple as that. Now, get it. You know, I get it. You don't go to the gym. Maybe you have a home exercise machine that you use more than just for hanging your clothes on. Or some other form. Maybe, you hit the road or you do other things for exercise. But it just fits nice. You know, spending time with the Lord. Spending time, huh? Spending time. We know where you're at. Spending time at the gym. And here it is, okay? Here's the point that I want to make. A plan to stay healthy works like medicine. It really does. It works like medicine. It promotes both mental and emotional well-being. It does. Let me give you some statistics, okay? Here we go. Okay, exercise. Now, this is from the Mayo Clinic. We all heard of the Mayo Clinic, one of the most outstanding hospitals in the States. They serve 1 million people a year, the Mayo Clinic. Incredible. A committed group of doctors that are for the well-being of people. When they treat people, they're going after the complete well-being of the person, the Mayo Clinic. And so they've come up with these 7 benefits of regular physical activity. So there's a lot of authority behind these 7 benefits. And so I just want to take a couple of minutes here just to encourage us together about this. Now, listen. Let me back off here and say this, and I mean this, that, in talking about these things, it's not as though that, that my relationship with you is based on are you following any kind of physical activity routine in your life? No, it's not. But I think it's a good practice for me as your pastor to recommend these kinds of things, okay, to help you, to help us. I feel that I'm, in a good position to do this, having disciplined myself in the past 2 years to be regular in exercise. But nevertheless, 7 benefits, what are they? So they begin by saying, exercise is good. Exercise is good for you, but do you know how good? So that's the point they want to make, just how good it is. So it says, here's the first one. Exercise controls weight. And I like the point that they make here. It says it can keep you from preventing you from excess weight gain and help you to maintain weight loss. It says when you engage in physical activity, of course, you burn calories. And what I like about this is regular trips to the gym are good, but don't worry if you can't find a large chunk of time to exercise every day. And they said, just doing normal things around the house. When you park to go into the grocery store, don't find the parking spot up close. Park way in the back, and then jog to the front door. I'm joking. It says, rev up your household chores. Find ways to burn calories. But that's exercise, though. Okay, here's another. Exercise combats health conditions and diseases. Worried about heart disease? Hoping to prevent high blood pressure? No matter what your current weight, be an active boost high-density lipoprotein, or what we call the good cholesterol in our bodies. And it keeps in check the bad cholesterol. Triglycerides, right? Triglycerides. Says the 1-2 punch keeps your blood flowing smoothly. Okay, number 3, exercise improves your mood. I'm telling you, some of you can really use this. It improves your mood. And, you know, I tell you, I can attest to this in my own life, fighting depression and how it is that, you know, exercise releases those good endorphins. And, oh, I'm feeling happy now, you know. It says need an emotional lift or need to blow off some steam, go to the gym. Exercise boosts energy. All right, that's another one. These are, and there's medical proof that they back up each one of these with. Exercise promotes better sleep. Just ask my wife how well I sleep, how quickly I fall asleep at night, how well I sleep, you know. But it does, it promotes better sleep. It puts the spark back in something that may be growing a little bit dim in your life, you know. If the sparkler doesn't have any more sparkle, exercise can do it for you. You know what I'm talking about. That's what they say, the Mayo Clinic. Exercise can be fun, even social. That's the last one that they mention. Could be social. Could be fun, could be social. I mean, I make it a point at the no judgment zone to not voice my judgments out loud. And that's fun for me. Here's some others. I like this one. Physical activity helps maintain brain function in older adults. That stood out to me. You know? This one stood out to me. Physical activity helps with digestion and promotes regular BMs. Yeah. Here's number eight, all right? And some of you really need to get a hold of this one, all right? Physical activity helps you age more gracefully by maintaining your looks. Some of you, just please, start exercising. Yeah. Helps by maintaining your agility, all right? And so mention some others there. You can Google this kind of stuff to see the benefits of exercise so that you have an incentive about yourself and see what God will do, see what he may do in your life. There's all kinds of other things in here, such as, you know, before you start exercising, check with your doctor. I checked with my doctor, and he told me I was overdoing it. And I said to him, you're nuts. You're crazy. I feel so good. Why, you know? And I paid no attention to him until I got really sick. And fluid was possibly building up around my heart. And he said, if you don't stop, this is, you know, you're going to die. So I stopped. But anyways, let's stand together in his presence. I'm done. How to make good on your New Year's resolutions. How to make good on those goals. Spiritual health. I can't emphasize it enough. Can't emphasize it enough. And it's simple stuff. Is it not simple stuff? You know? Read this. Pray about everything. Simple stuff. Do something physical. Spend time at the gym. You know? Listen. My membership at the gym allows me to bring a friend. I can bring a friend every day. If you're up at 3:30 a.m., you're welcome to come with me. Okay? I'd gladly take you. Hey, Ken is there. I see Ken. He's there often. Yeah, doing his thing. Doing his, before he goes and does his teacher thing. Got to stay in shape because those kids would drive you crazy, right, Ken? But anyways, hear me what I'm saying, you know? So many more things that I can say about this. And more than, you know, it's like, well, you know, you look at some people, they stayed in good health all their lives and they died from cancer, because sometimes it's not just about, you know, well, I'm going to live forever because I exercise. No. Or I'm never going to come down with a disease because no. There's other benefits to it, and there's a lot of ways to do it. Let's pray. Father, so I commit this word to you, Lord, and to your people. I hope as their pastor, I was, you know, helpful and not just trying to meddle into their lives, but that some principles here will be taken and be well taken, that we would know your blessing upon our lives, Lord Jesus, that we'd be healthy people, people who are called by your name, and that there'd be a sense of joy in our lives because of your workings in our lives. Help us to do what's necessary, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.